Let me close with this account. True story. In my home church, outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in Greenville Springs Baptist Church, we're a rural community. It's an area that I represented back when I was in office, and it's a middle-income, lower-middle-income, blue-collar area, and our church has seen pretty good growth over the last 10 years. We've gone from about 400 to about 1,200 on a Sunday, and so it's a fairly good-sized church, but very conservative. And about a year and a half or so ago, my pastor had been preaching a series, and one of the messages he preached on a Sunday night was about Sodom and Gomorrah, a very politically correct sermon. Well, the next Sunday, I didn't see this, but after the service, he came up to me and he said, "Tony, did you see what happened during the service?" I said, "No, Mr. Smith fell asleep." "No." He said, "In the balcony, there were these two women who began making out." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "What am I going to do?" I said, "Well," I said, "next Sunday when you stand up," I said, "I would say that, look, this is the sanctuary, this is a sanctuary, this is the house of God, and we don't condone immoral sexual behavior, whether it's between two men, two women, or this is not the place even for husbands and wives to display that type of affection." So he got up that next Sunday morning and he said, "Look, I just want to tell you that this is the house of God. It's a sanctuary, and men and women should not be showing inappropriate affection. And of course, men and women, or men and men, shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff either. And we don't go for that other funny stuff between women and women either." Well, after that service, we were usually one of the last ones to leave. And so he came up to me, and he was white as a ghost. He said, "They came up to me, and they want to see me tomorrow morning." He said, "Can you be here?" I said, "No, brother, but I'll pray for you." I did. I had to fly. I had to catch a flight back to Washington. I couldn't be there, but I did. I prayed for him. He said, "What do I do?" And I told him, I said, "Well, you know, just make sure you've got 911 on speed dial." He goes, "But they're big women." I said, "Leave the door open." So I catch an early flight. I leave my house like 3:30 in the morning, and I'm in my office by 9:30, and the meeting was to take place at 10. So by the time I got to my office, his meeting had taken place. So I called him. I said, "Brother, how'd it go?" And he was so excited. He said, "You wouldn't believe it." He said, "The big one didn't show up, but the other one did, and she was mad. And she came into my office and she sat down and I began to listen to her. And then all of a sudden she began to break down and she began to weep and she began to cry, saying that she was in bondage in this relationship and she didn't want to be here, but she didn't know what to do. It had been going on for years and she didn't know a way out." And right there in his office in front of his desk, they got down on their knees. And she prayed to receive Christ into her heart. We put her in contact with a ministry to ex-gays, and the last we heard, she had moved back to Oklahoma to go back to her husband and to her children and be reunited as a family. My friends, it is the truth that will transform. And how will they hear unless it is preached? And how will you preach it unless you first pray? And how will we succeed unless we stand together?